Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Kind of an historic week this week in New York, Jason. Early voting for the first time gets underway tomorrow. Any concerns on your part as far as fraud and abuse? I know this is an off-year election, but any pitfalls that maybe we haven't thought through yet with this?
You know, ultimately, we are concerned about some of the early voting. A couple of things. One, the late surprises that tend to come out in a campaign. People may not have all the information before they go to vote, so we're concerned about that. And additionally, it allows 10 days for people to bus in people to certain districts to be able to basically have a bus ministry driving people to vote. And we're concerned about that, particularly a lot of these city areas to where there could be a huge Democratic turnout. And I think that was the core of early voting, was buying the Democratic Party more time to work on busing people in.
Yeah, and of course, the turnout rate is historically low, one of the worst in the country. Do you think this is going to do anything to address that?
I think you may see some higher turnout in some urban inner city areas. I'm not so sure you're going to see it in the rural areas, but you'll see it in urban areas.
All right. Hey, well, we're talking politics, Michael. It was a busy week in Pennsylvania for the presidential candidates, both the president and the guy who wants to be president. Joe Biden was there, Vice President Mike Pence as well. All of them eyeing Pennsylvania and those 20 electoral votes. What are the issues that are driving interest in Pennsylvania? I know 2020 is still over a year away, but I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of stops in the Keystone State in the coming months.
Well, yes, absolutely. The biggest issue that's driving visits to Pennsylvania is that Pennsylvania is one of the swing states. We haven't had that position for quite some time. 2016, it turned out to be that way, although it wasn't predicted, and Pennsylvania was really the state that put President Trump into office. But some of the issues, many of them are pocketbook issues. I mean, President Trump was in this week talking about the fracking industry, which is big in Pennsylvania. It's provided many, many jobs, and many of the Democrat candidates, I think, if not all of them, called for a complete ban nationally on fracking. And so I think the president's looking to capitalize on that. But other issues, sanctity of life, what judges are going to be appointed, many of the same issues that hit us in 2016 are still of concern to Pennsylvanians.
All right. New York's green light law being challenged for the first time in federal court this week. Erie County suing over this. The clerk there says, hey, this puts me in conflict with federal law. That law is supposed to take effect mid-December. First of all, Jason, what is the green light law? And do you think that the judge here will issue an injunction?
Well, the green light law is essentially the driver's licenses for legal immigrants concern that passed in Albany earlier this year. And there's a lot of concern, especially in the areas of the state where I'm at, regarding giving a government ID to someone who's here illegally. And honestly, going back to the first story we talked about is some election fraud. There's concern over giving government ID that would allow illegal aliens to then register to vote. So we have concerns over that. It would be illegal for them to vote, but they've already demonstrated a willingness to break the law by entering the country illegally. So we'll wait to see what happens with this, but it's difficult to read judges.
Yeah, and we're supposed to get a ruling on that by November. Michael, fetal heartbeat legislation was introduced in Harrisburg, making abortions illegal after a heartbeat's detected. Wondering, two-part question here. What percentage of abortions in your state happen after the heartbeat is detected? And the governor's already promised a veto, so why go through with this in the first place?
Well, number one, on the issue of the number of abortions that take place after the heartbeat is detected in Pennsylvania, it's 12,000. We have 30,000 abortions typically every year in Pennsylvania. 12,000 of those are done after the heartbeat could be detected in that 6 to 7 week time period. So this would be a substantial benefit to protecting human life if this bill were to become law. Of course, Governor Wolf has said that he's going to veto it, and he's raising money on that pledge that he would veto it. The reason that the legislators are moving forward with it and why we support it at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, number one, it's the right thing to do. I mean, when you have a pregnancy, there are two heartbeats. There are two human lives, two distinct human beings there, and they deserve protection. And as the chief Senate sponsor, Senator Doug Mastriano, said in the press conference, you know, he pointed to the story of William Wilberforce fighting for the end of the slave trade and introduced bill after bill, even though they failed and didn't become law for many years, continued to press to educate the public and to eventually bring an end to the slave trade. And that's what we would like to see with an end to the abortion trade in Pennsylvania and ultimately nationally.
Are they going to vote this fall on this bill? What are the chances realistically of getting a veto-proof majority?
I don't know that they get a veto-proof majority in both the House and the Senate. I do hope for a vote this fall, but it more likely would come to a vote, if at all, would be next year sometime. Okay. Based on the calendar.
Speaking of the sanctity of life issue, Jason, you've endorsed this stillborn legislation that would provide a one-time tax credit to families that have gone through this. What an agonizing thing for a parent to have to deal with. A sense of irony with this bill, though, when it comes to the sponsors of this, if you would explain to our listeners this story.
Yeah, we have a bill introduced in New York State that would allow a child tax credit for the first year of a stillbirth. And so essentially when those parents have a stillborn child, they would have a $2,000 tax credit, which is the same as if there was a tax credit for the child that is born alive. Why it's a little hypocritical for us, though, and while we support the legislation, the sponsors, though, just a few months ago voted for Governor Cuomo's Abortion Expansion Act. And so the jaded, cynical side of me thinks that this is probably a pushback. They're experiencing, you know, people in the district that are pro-life, that are calling these offices, and they are objecting to the Abortion Expansion Act, and now these legislators can say, yes, but we did this.
Yeah.
And it's just a little ironic that to think that they will hold up the value and the worth of the unborn child when it is stillborn, but not when it isn't.
Yeah. Well, Michael, Planned Parenthood has already announced they're going to spend a lot of money, $45 million on the 2020 election. They're honing in on 9 states to try to elect pro-choice candidates. Is Pennsylvania one of those states?
Well, it absolutely is, and for the same reasons in the earlier question that we talked about why the president, Mike Pence, and others are coming to Pennsylvania, because we are a swing state, and Planned Parenthood, which is such an aggressive political entity using government funds, really switching it around so that they can use it for politics. They're taking these dollars and advancing their pro-abortion cause to elect pro-abortion politicians like our governor, Tom Wolf, here in Pennsylvania, who got $1.5 million in his first run for governor here, and he's done everything that Planned Parenthood has asked him to do, including pledging, for example, to veto the heartbeat bill. So yes, they'll be spending that money here, and that's why citizens in Pennsylvania who care about the sanctity of life need to engage in the political process.
Rumors of a rare December session, Jason, in Albany. I know anytime they're in Albany, you get a little nervous. What's this about? What are the likelihood that this would really happen?
Well, I think there is a good shot that we may have a special session in December, because essentially there's a public financing commission that is going to rule on a series of matters. And if legislators do not take the proactive action to come back to Albany and change some of those matters, it will have the force of law. Mm-hmm. And there are some proposals in that public financing commission legislators do not like. And so there's a chance that they will come back and they will vote to overturn those. Also, it will allow them the opportunity to then also vote themselves in a pay raise before 2020 comes into play. And we're beginning to hear rumors that there may be a legislative pay raise in the works this December.
All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. And then finally, Michael, want to talk about a Senate bill that passed this week, the child marriage bill, basically would make marriages under 18 illegal. You've weighed in on this topic before. What are your thoughts on legislation like this?
Well, legislation passed in the House earlier this year, unanimously 195-0, and now in the Senate, a different bill, but the same language passing in the Senate unanimously to prohibit marriages before the age of 18. Pennsylvania was one of about 20 states that did allow, in certain circumstances, child marriages. And the reason that we support this ultimately is that those marriages typically have resulted in an adult male marrying a minor child. Mm-hmm. That's not a positive situation, especially when we see that about 80% of them end in divorce, and many of them end up in abusive situations as well. So our ally in the House of Representatives, Jesse Topper, is the sponsor of the House legislation. How they're going to work out the Senate and the House both passing similar but not the exact same legislation remains to be seen.
All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground this week, but that's all the time we have for now. But you both got great websites where folks can go and check you out. In New York State, Jason, where is your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And find out more about Michael's group as well. Where can they find you, Michael?
PAFamily.org.